It's kind of a special day for me, and I would just say that I need your prayers, that as we take a look at this subject. But let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you. Thank you for the promises of your word. Thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, as we meet here and worship together, that the Holy Spirit may fill our hearts and we each may be drawn close to you. For this we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Today's kind of a special day also because I have the privilege of having some of my family here. And that's kind of a special time. We have a couple of the family that live in the area, but all of us have responsibilities in other churches, so when I have the opportunity of them being here, it's always kind of special for me. And so I'm going to have them stand up so they know who they are. Just come ahead. Well, these are our family out. Just a minute. Okay, that's fine. See, the couple in the middle keep standing. This is my granddaughter and her fiancé, and they're being married next month. Okay, thank you. When I was a child and went to Sunday school, the Sunday school teacher wanted to teach us or help us learn some of the Bible verses. And so she took a piece of cardstock and cut out a diamond shape. And when we learned a particular verse, she would write that on that diamond, and she slotted it, and she would slide it up on a ribbon for us. And she put those up in the classroom. And I learned the 23rd Psalm. Of course, I learned John 3:16. But one of the things that I learned and memorized was the Ten Commandments. Those things that you learn as children stay with you all your life. And they've always been there as I've thought over them and come to different things. But as I got older and I began to ask questions about, particularly about the commandments, I got all kinds of different answers. I can remember a minister saying to me, we don't keep those anymore. All you need to do is accept Jesus. Another minister said, you just keep part of them. We don't keep all of them. We just keep part of them. And then they really confused me when they said, Jesus gave us a whole new set of commandments, and we go by those. We don't go by the old commandments in the Old Testament. We don't keep those any longer. So I want us to take a look at what Christ had to say about the law. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now the problem here is, whose commandments are we talking about? Are we talking about Christ's commandments? Or are we talking about God the Father's commandments? What are we talking about when he said, if you love me, keep my commandments? Jesus went on and said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. New commandment. What made the commandment new? The Jewish people, up until this time, had looked at the law and they had kept it by the letter of the law. But they knew very little about the spirit of the law, and Christ had given them a live demonstration of what it meant to keep his law. And therefore, the things that he said to them and the ideas that he gave to them were new to them. And that's the reason it was referred to as a new commandment, a
A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. He went on and said, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in him. So Christ said, if you keep my commandments, just the same as I kept my Father's commandments. Is there a difference here? Is there a difference between the Father's commandments and Christ's commandments? How am I supposed to relate to the law and what it had to say? Jesus clarified that very much when he said, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill. For surely I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. So we find that he had it, told them what they were to do. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments, teaches men so, shall he be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So he's saying he didn't come to destroy the law. He came to fulfill it. Was he talking about the Ten Commandments? Well, I think Christ clarified that very, very much for us when he was talking to the rich young ruler who came to him and said, good master, what must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into what? Life. Keep the commandments. What commandments? And he said to him, which ones? And Jesus said, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There you have it. When they asked him what commandments, he quoted the Ten Commandments. So God's law does not change, folks. It's still the same today and will be that throughout eternity. So what are we looking at when we look at the Sabbath? The children of Israel had arrived at the Jordan River after spending 40 years in the wilderness. When they got to the Jordan River, it was in flood stage. And God said to them, cross over the Jordan. And when the priest's feet touched the water, it rolled back. And the children of Israel began to go across on dry ground. But God said to Joshua, take 12 men. Go out into the middle of the Jordan and pick up 12 large rocks. Place them on your shoulder and carry them over on the opposite shore. And they carried them over there, and Joshua took those 12 rocks. And with it he made an altar, established it there, an altar. And it says this about it. I think it does. That this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord when it crossed over the Jordan. Okay, it was a memorial to them. A memorial there always reminded them what God had done, how God had led them through the wilderness and brought them into the land of Canaan. many times throughout Scripture. When God has done something in a special way, He has had a memorial set up. When He created this world, He set up a memorial. The waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel for how long? Forever. When God created this world, He gave us a memorial. He said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do not do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. You, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor the stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Now watch carefully. He's setting up a memorial. I'm afraid this clicker is just not giving up. For in six days the Lord made heaven and earth and sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore God, what? Blessed the seventh day and hallowed it. And by the way, folks, that's the only thing you find in Scripture where God says that He blessed, He hallowed, and He sanctified it. It's the only thing is the Sabbath. He blessed it, He hallowed it, sanctified it. He set it aside as a memorial of creation that is to be to you and to me that for eternity. Always a reminder of what God did when He created the heavens and the earth. Well, how did we arrive at a Sabbath? How do we arrive with every seventh day? Where does that come from? How do we establish that every seventh day we're to keep the Sabbath? How do we arrive at a seven-day week? Well, we get a year from the Earth's orbit around the sun. That gives us 365 and a fourth days in a year. We get a month from the moon, and its orbit around the Earth takes approximately 30 days. We get a day from the Earth's rotation on its axis, establishes a day. But tell me, what heavenly body gives us a week? Sun? Moon? Stars? No, the only place that you get a week from is creation. That God gave a seven-day week to you and to me, and He said that seventh day is blessed, hallowed, and sanctified by God. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended His work which He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all of His work which He had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it He rested from all of His work which God had created and made. So God took that seventh day, blessed it, hallowed it, sanctified it. And by the way, we find that most of nature operates on a seven-day cycle. Man, we operate on a seventh-day cycle. Why didn't we have 5 days in a week or 10 days in a week, but a seven-day cycle? the beautiful music we had here. All that is written there and done on 7 notes. It's a 7-day cycle that God set up. If you want to study something interesting, go on the internet and look up 7-day cycle. See what it has to say. But God put that in order, in place, for you and for me to understand. Okay. The question then, this is what God did for us. But God took that 7th day and did something that I think we overlook many times. One, in Isaiah 58:13, he said, "My holy day." Now watch this. Exodus 31:13, "My Sabbath." Exodus 20:10, "Sabbath of the Lord your God." Revelation 1:10, the Lord's day. Please notice, God did not give the Sabbath to man. God gave you 6 days. He did not give you the 7th. The 7th day belongs to Him, does not belong to you. God told you and I that we were to keep it. I can only keep something that God made holy. And that 7th day is His, and it's your responsibility and my responsibility to keep it. As His people, we are to keep it. It's holy. It was made holy by God. Well, also, you can't change something that doesn't belong to you. So the Sabbath's never been changed. It's never belonged to man, so you're not going to be able to change it. It belongs to the Lord. You say, well, it's been a long, long time since creation. How do I know that the 7th day is the Sabbath? How do I know that so that I don't have to have any doubts about it? Well, you don't have to go back to creation. All you got to do is go back to the time of Christ. I'm back too far. Speaking of Jesus, it says, "And this man, Joseph of Arimathea, went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Christ has died." Now watch carefully as Luke puts it all in place here for you. "Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen, laid it in a tomb that was hewn out of a rock where no one had ever lain before." That day was the what? Preparation, and the Sabbath drew near. So it tells us clear here that Jesus died on the day before the Sabbath. He died on the preparation day. Now, at Easter time, what do we call that day? Huh? Yeah, we call it Good Friday. I mean, so you have an account all the way from the time of Christ to today that tells you that took place on Good Friday, or on Friday. But let's go on. "And the women who had come with him from Galilee followed after, and they observed the tomb and how his body was laid." "Then they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment." So they said right after the preparation day, what was the next day? Yeah, it was the Sabbath. But Luke doesn't stop there. He goes on. "Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain women with them came to the tomb bringing spices which they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb." They got there. They found the stone had been rolled away from the tomb. Christ had risen. And we call that what? We call that Easter Sunday. Now, do you have any trouble knowing when the Sabbath is? I mean, you see, it just comes between Friday and Sunday. Simply what the Scripture tells you, that's where it is. So you don't have any trouble, folks, knowing when the Sabbath is. We know when it is. He tells us clearly that this day is a memorial of His creation, and that He blessed it, He hallowed it, and He sanctified it, and it belongs to Him. It does not belong to you or to me. As far as I am concerned, one of the greatest reasons for keeping the Sabbath is this. Moreover, I also gave them my Sabbath to be a what? I gave them my Sabbath to be a sign between them and me, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them. God blessed, hallowed, and sanctified the Sabbath. He said, that's going to be a sign that I'm the God and that I can sanctify you. Okay? That He can sanctify you. What's my responsibility concerning that? My responsibility is to stay surrendered and let God do His work in my life. That's how sanctification takes place. It's not your works. It's not what you do. It's surrender. Stay surrendered. Let God do His work in your life. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind, write them on their hearts. I will be their God, they shall be my people. Now that's the covenant. God said, I'll be your God. You shall be my people. And He said, the sign of this covenant between me and you is the Sabbath. And by keeping the Sabbath, you're showing that you have entered into a covenant with God, that He is your God. And that you belong to Him. You are His people. This is what He's telling us. And so the greatest reason, as far as I'm concerned, for you or for me keeping the Sabbath is the fact it is the sign of a relationship between me and God. And I am to keep the Sabbath. I don't have time this morning to go into all that's involved in keeping the Sabbath. But I will just say this, it's not yours, it's His. Do not treat it with disrespect. That He makes it very, very clear. It belongs to Him, not to you or to me. One of the great promises of the Scripture gave this to us, and He said this. See if I can get this to work. Peter took this covenant that God had made with the children of Israel, and Peter took that covenant that had been made, and he applied it directly to you and to me as Gentiles. So there's no doubt, don't let somebody tell you, that was just between God and the Jews. No, it's not. Listen to what Peter says. I think it's got to be backed up one. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people. You are God's own special people. That's what you are. Because you are to keep the Sabbath as a sign between you and God that you belong to Him. That you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Who once were not a people. One time you weren't. But are now the people of God who had not obtained mercy but now have obtained mercy. So, you belong to God, and you, as a sign of that relationship, He says you and I are to keep the Sabbath. There's a promise in Scripture. I don't know why I didn't tie it together. Over the years, as I read it, I mean, it's a marvelous promise. But I never tied it together exactly as the Scripture I found tied it together. And it just says this to us. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Great promise. Right? Delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. How do I delight myself in the Lord? How do I do that? If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a what? Call the Sabbath a delight. The holy day of the Lord, honorable and shall honor Him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I'll cause you to ride on the high places of the earth. So if you want to see the blessing of God in your life, if you want to see what God will do for you, if you want to have the desires of your heart, keep the Sabbath. Because that's the way you delight yourself in the Lord. For making us your people, may we be faithful for what you've called us to do. May our hearts be open. And may we be willing to follow you and do your will in all that we do. Bless us. As we leave this house of worship, may we enjoy the blessing you have in the Sabbath. For this we pray in your name. Amen.